Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for another Lord's Day, a day when we can gather to worship and praise you for your goodness and your love and your care. We don't know what today holds, or this week, or this month, or this year, but we know, Lord, that we are in your hands. We know that you are going to give us more grace and strength than we need to face the trials and the troubles that may be ahead. Thank you, Lord, that we have this blessed assurance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we sing Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Worship folder is a prayer of confession on one of the white inserts. I invite you to join with us as we read in unison. Savior, you are calling us to your table to celebrate your birth, life, death, and resurrection, and enjoy your presence, to experience your healing, to have our lives filled to overflowing, to be one with your people of every time and place, to receive your gifts to us of love, joy, and peace. But we dare not come with dirty hands and sin-stained hearts. Only your forgiveness can make us clean. In the hustle and bustle of life, we have pushed you to the edges of our lives as we have become too busy with urgent matters. We have fooled ourselves into believing we don't have time to pray and we are too exhausted to serve. We invent excuses for ignoring the poor and avoiding those who are hurting, hungry, homeless, helpless, and hopeless. Too often we have robbed you by not giving tithes and offerings, which all belong to you. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to do better. Help us to plan our days and our actions according to your will. Open our hearts to the needs of those who cannot pay us back. Forgive us and fill us with the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. May we be your Christmas and Easter people every day. Then we can celebrate this meal with all of the saints of every time and place. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Be seated. At this time, we come to a very special point in the service. It's always exciting and a blessing to be able to heed the words of Jesus as he said, "Allow the children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." This morning, we have the opportunity to baptize Charlotte Ava Dinsmore, and I'd like to invite the family to come forward, all of those of you who would like to. I would like to invite any of the church family to come forward. We need to realize that in the United Methodist Church, we don't have private baptisms. This is a community affair. And we are so excited to have family here from Seattle, Washington, from Smyrna, Tennessee, and from good old Rockwood, Tennessee as well. We welcome you. And this is a very special time. I've got some questions that I need to ask of the parents at this time. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we're initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Parents, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. Do you accept God's gift and power to resist injustice, evil, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as Lord in union with the church, which he opens to all people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. Will you nurture Charlotte in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will. To you, the congregation, we're in this thing together. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Let's try that again. I think you can do a little bit better. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Yes, all right. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Charlotte Ava Dinsmore in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Charlotte with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in her trust of God and be found faithful in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple and walk in the way that leads to life. This morning, there's nothing magical or mystical about the water that we use for baptism. But to make it a little more special for Charlotte and for the family, the water that we have here today, some of it came from the Jordan River, where Jesus was baptized. Some of it came from Mary's well at Nazareth, from which Jesus drank from as a child. And some of it came from East Tennessee. Now we come to the moment. Hello, Miss Charlotte. Will you come to me? Yes. All right. Hello there. Oh, my. Yes. Look at this. Look at this. Charlotte Ava Dinsmore, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would surround this young life with your love, with your grace, with your joy, and with your peace. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, you did good. You know that? You did very good. Yes. Ain't she sweet? Yes. Okay. You want to go back to them? You want to stay up here with me? Okay. Hi. God bless you. You may be seated. Oh. I told you not to let me forget the certificate. Thank you. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns you'd like to share with the family of God? Thank you. I saw Wanda yesterday evening. She's had a couple good days in a row. She's still having difficulty at night sleeping, as you can imagine. She's not a back sleeper, and with the halo on, she doesn't have any other options. And of course, when she lays down, the pain is worse than the neck, and when they give her something for the pain, it upsets her stomach. So it's a cycle that you're trying to work through, and they've got her in therapy. They're in hopes to get her out of there within the next couple weeks or so, get her back home again, and so she can be about her activities. And I try to be careful, because on the one hand, I want to let her know that we're doing the best that we can do to keep things together here. And on the other hand, I want her to know that we want her back here ASAP. So do keep Wanda in your prayers. She gets a lot of phone calls, but she doesn't answer very many of them. Okay, so if you try to call her and she doesn't answer, don't be offended. She's knocked the house phone off the table a number of times trying to answer it, and a lot of times it's just not easy for her to get a hold of her cell phone. So understand that she is thinking of you all. She said, they can try to call if they want, but I may not answer. Just so you know. Okay, if she doesn't answer, please don't call back 10 or 12 times. Just realize that that may not be an opportune moment, okay? And if you want to try later on sometime, I'm sure that would be fine with her. But she is progressing. Any others? Thank you. Yes. Tommy and Linda, yes. Yeah, I do remember Tommy and Linda in your prayers. Tommy's recuperating. And Linda, of course, is still not 100%. And I know she'd appreciate your prayers, too. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, through your grace and strength, we've made it through another week. We've had so many dreams and ideas for 2017. Remind us that as of noon tomorrow, this year will be 1/10 over. There's still a lot of time left, and there's still a lot of things we need to do, Lord, to draw closer to you and closer to each other, to be all that you would have us to be. We pray that you would continue to lift us and strengthen us and use us to your honor and glory. We pray this morning, Lord, that you'd be with each person gathered here. Help us, Lord, that we might realize that you want us to enjoy life to the fullest. You want us to have a life that is full and free, beginning right here, right now, and taking us all through eternity. Help us to draw closer to you. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would be with our nation, with our leaders, so many who need your guidance and your strength. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with those who are going through physical distress, those who are hospitalized, those who are in therapy, those who are going through recuperation, those, Lord, who are facing situations that would seem to indicate there may not be too many more days left here on this earth. May they know that you are the great physician and that you are with them each moment of the day. We pray that you'd be with our troops, be with their families, Lord, watch over them, give them comfort and peace in the midst of this time of separation. Thank you, Lord, for loving and caring for us so very much. We pray now that as we prepare our minds and hearts to come to your table as the family of God, that we might experience an added measure of your love and joy and peace. That we might realize that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses deeper than the deepest stain of sin is gone. That we might realize that your table is open for all of your children. Help us now and we'll give you the praise. We ask it in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, for all of your many wonderful gifts, we give you thanks and praise. We pray now that you would bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who is unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remain standing as we sing, "Fill My Cup, Lord."
Yeah.
standing, if you would, please, for the reading of the gospel from Matthew chapter 5. One day as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up to the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them. This is what he taught them. God blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We have had many times recently where our troops have been called upon to fight in the desert. Those troops, under those harsh circumstances, are advised to drink up to 8 gallons of water per day. Now imagine with me when those are stranded away from their base and their supplies. Imagine the intenseness of their search for life-giving water. A young man went to Socrates one day and said that he wanted knowledge. The philosopher led that student out into the ocean, into chest-deep water, and then without warning, Socrates grabbed him, pushed him beneath the water, and held him there until his struggling finally stopped. Then he dragged the young man to the shore, left him gasping on the sand, and Socrates returned to the marketplace. When the boy had recovered, he went to the marketplace and found Socrates and asked him why he had tried to drown him. Socrates replied, "When you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else?" Of course, the young man's reply was air. Socrates then said, "When you crave knowledge as much as you craved air, you won't need me or anybody else to guide you." Do you remember the most delicious meal that you've ever eaten? Now, I realize 11:30 on Sunday morning isn't a good time for the preacher to start talking about food. You're already scrolling through your restaurants on your smartphone trying to figure out where you're going to head when you get out of here. But for me, the best tasting meal that I can remember ever having, and I've had a lot of them, was at a junior high camp in Wisconsin. Now that's a surprising one, isn't it? That particular day, we had gone canoeing in ice cold water. By the end of the day, we were cold to the bone. We were wet. We were exhausted. We were hungry. That was over 40 years ago. But I'm here to tell you this morning, when we got back to camp, we had meatloaf, baked potato, corn, hot yeast rolls with lots of butter, and also lots of hot coffee. Now, over the years, I've eaten some very expensive meals in some very nice restaurants, but none of them tasted quite as good as that dinner, supper, whatever it was that evening in that junior high camp dining hall. It was camp food, but it tasted fantastic. Maybe not so much because of what it was or how it was cooked, but because of the fact that I was ready for it. I was really hungry. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us that we should have that kind of a spiritual hunger and intensity. We should really hunger and thirst after righteousness. How much do we want to be like Jesus? As much as a starving person wants food? As much as someone in the desert wants water? There are some good preachers on TV, but then there are a lot of popular TV preachers who seem to specialize in spiritual junk food. They serve snacks that are high in spiritual fat and sugar, but they have very little spiritual nutritional value. What they serve doesn't make us stronger and it doesn't help us to grow. Spiritually, do we just kind of snack occasionally and then wonder why we're not growing? A lot of times, I've told my people, imagine. Think in terms of having devotion, reading your Bible and praying, and feeding yourself spiritually. Now, suppose you kept the same kind of schedule feeding yourself physically that you do feeding yourself spiritually. 90% of church people would not have a problem with being overweight if they did it that way. You know what I'm saying, okay? If we fed ourselves as regularly physically as we do spiritually, many of us would probably starve to death. A number of years ago, I read that 50% of the sermon is in the hearing. Now, that was encouraging to me because that would mean that half of the sermon experience was up to me and the other half of it was up to you. As I prepared for the message this week, I got to thinking about that. I reflected on that 50-50 premise. And I decided that I do not agree with it. The underlying concept is that between me and you, we can hit 100% every Sunday in the service, in the sermon. But let me propose to you this morning that 80% of the sermon is the work of the Holy Spirit. And then, if I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me, that should be good for another 10%. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in your hearing and in your heart and mind being open, that's good for another 10%. That would mean that we could reach 100%. But without the Holy Spirit in the pulpit and in the pews, no matter how hard we try, we'll fail miserably. In the Bible, the term righteous means personal goodness or holiness. Men and women who are candidates for ordination in the United Methodist Church are asked the same question today that John Wesley asked his ministers over 250 years ago. Are you going on to perfection? I heard one bishop who took it a little bit further, and he said, if you're not going on to perfection, where are you going? It's an appropriate question for each one of us. We've all seen hitchhikers standing on the side of the road with a sign. Maybe it says Florida, maybe it says Michigan, maybe it says California. One Christmas season, a young man was standing in the snow beside the road holding up a sign that said, anywhere. Often in our spiritual lives, we're like that. We have no direction. We're drifting. This fourth beatitude calls us to hunger and thirst after a personal goodness. Righteousness also means a social justice. A number of years ago, a young lawyer on a trip to New Orleans saw something that tore at his heart and turned his stomach. It was a slave auction. Children were crying, women were screaming, men were straining against the chains that bound them as they helplessly saw their families torn apart, probably never to see each other again. He said, "This is wrong, terribly wrong. If I ever get a chance to strike a blow against this, I'll do it with all my heart." That young lawyer was Abraham Lincoln, and then when the time came, he took a stand against the injustice of slavery. Jesse James killed a man in a bank robbery, and shortly after that was baptized in the Kearney Baptist Church. He then killed a bank cashier and joined the church choir and taught them hymn singing. Jesse really liked Sundays, but he couldn't always go to church because some Sundays he was busy robbing trains. Part of our calling as the Church of Jesus Christ is to be the conscience of society and to stand tall for social justice. As we read through the Bible, we see God's people, Moses, Amos, Isaiah, Elijah, Paul, and especially Jesus, committing themselves not only to personal righteousness, but also to social justice. In your worship folder this morning, on the back of the prayer request sheet, we can see many of the social injustices of our world. You've got a few more minutes in the sermon if you want to read it and see what's in there. Another meaning of righteousness deals with personal relationships. A man in church was heard to pray, "God, use me in any way you want, but I would really prefer that you use me in an advisory capacity." God doesn't need us in advisory capacities as much as in relational capacities. It was a cold winter day in 1942 inside a Nazi concentration camp. A lonely young boy was peering out through the barbed wire as a young girl passed by. Moved by his plight, she threw an apple over the fence. The boy picked up the apple. It was a ray of light in his darkness. The following day, he looked beyond the fence, hoping to see her again. On the other side of the barbed wire, the young girl yearned to see the boy who had moved her so much. She came with apple in hand. Despite the chilling wintry air, the two hearts were warmed once again as the apple was passed over the barbed wire. The scene repeated for several days. The two young spirits on opposite sides of the fence looked forward to seeing each other, if only for a moment, and if only to exchange a few words. At the last of these meetings, the boy said, "Don't come anymore. Tomorrow I will not be here. They're sending me to another camp." He then walked away, too heartbroken to look back. From that day forward, the image of that young girl would appear in moments of anguish. Her eyes, her words, her thoughtfulness, the apples, were all a recurring vision that would calm his nighttime fears. His family all died during the war. The life he had known had vanished, but this one memory remained alive and gave him hope. Now let's fast forward to 1957. Halfway around the world in the United States, two adults, both immigrants, were set up on a blind date. During the date, part of the conversation went like this. "Where were you during the war?" inquired the woman. "I was in a concentration camp in Germany," he replied. "I used to throw apples over the fence to a boy who was in a concentration camp in Germany," she said. With a feeling of shock, he said, "And did that boy say to you one day, 'Don't come tomorrow, I'm being sent to another camp?'" "Why, yes," she replied, "but how would you know that?" He looked into her eyes and said, "I was that boy." There was a brief silence, and then he continued, "I was separated from you then, and I don't ever want to be without you again. Will you marry me?" As they embraced, she said yes. On Valentine's Day, 1996, on the Oprah Winfrey Show, the same man affirmed his enduring love to his wife of 40 years. "You fed me in the concentration camp," he said. "You fed me throughout all these years. Now I remain hungry only for your love." The darkest moments of life may carry the seeds for a brighter tomorrow. In the original Greek, righteousness, dikaiosune, means to be set right with God and others. Several years ago, in a northern state, a toddler wandered out of her house and into the woods on a bitterly cold winter day. Hundreds of volunteers were quickly organized. Everyone knew time was of the essence. The child could not survive long in the freezing cold. They searched for 2 hours without any luck. Then someone suggested they join hands so they could cover the entire woods without missing a single spot. Within 15 minutes, they found the child. But it was too late. She had already died from exposure. Through tears, one of the searchers sobbed, "Why didn't we join hands sooner?" Why can't the Church of Jesus Christ today join hands to assure that no one is lost? To be certain that each one has hands to hold on to in the uncertain times of life. What would happen at Rockwood United Methodist Church if we were to experience that kind of a unity as we labor together to build God's kingdom? To hunger and thirst for righteousness means to strive energetically for personal righteousness, to stand enthusiastically for social justice, and to join hands eagerly with God and our brothers and sisters in loving relationships. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you would draw each one of us closer to you and closer to each other. Help us that we might join hands and join hearts as a family of God. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. Those are the only stipulations on coming to God's table. You don't have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to belong to Rockwood United Methodist Church. You don't have to have been born south of the Mason-Dixon line. This table is open for all. Would those who are going to help with the serving of the communion come forward, please? In just a moment, we will invite you to come. We will invite you to either stand or kneel at the altar rail, whatever works best for you. Then one of the servers will come down through with the bread. You take and eat. Then another server will follow with a cup. Take and drink. We'll have a prayer of dismissal. You'll get up and go back to your seat by the side aisles. The next group will come down. I will ask that the choir make their way. They're already here ready to go. Servers, when we are done serving them, then we will partake together, okay?